Thank you, John. Thank you, Robin. John chapter 13. You know, when Scripture says today is the day of salvation, whenever the Word of God proclaims the gospel of Christ, there's salvation for somebody, from something. I need saving. You say, preacher, aren't you saved? Well, yes, but I still need saving from sin, from despair, from doubts and fears, from temptations, from Satan, and from the world, from lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, don't you? I need washed. I need the Word of God to cleanse me inside and out, don't you? This story that John read to us is far more than an example of humility and service. Far more. Much more here than meets the eye. The gospel is here. The Lord, in what He does here, illustrates the gospel. It shows us who He is, where He came from, what He did, who He did it for, and where He is now. All that in this story of Him washing feet. You say, I don't understand. Well, maybe you will here in a minute. Verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. He said, Scripture says this was His hour. Our Lord said that earlier, didn't He? For this hour came I into this world. For this cause. Like David. You remember the story of David and Goliath. This is the son of David who came for this cause, to save His people, Israel, His people, chosen people, from their sins. Captain of our salvation. This is His hour. He said, Scripture says, when He knew this was His hour was come. Before that, it said they tried to take Him. They tried to kill Him often, always. From the cradle to His adulthood, they wanted Him dead. But His hour was not come. It was not time. And He said, no man taketh my life from Him. Because this is the Son of God come to do a work sent by the Father. And He must finish that work, or there'd be no salvation. And He did it. His hour. Called His hour. And it says, having loved His own. Now it says this was His hour. And He says He loved His own. And look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Boy, if this isn't a declaration of the true Christ of Scripture, huh? This is His hour. This is the hour He came for Him. This is the cause He came for. They are His own. He came for His own sheep, but given to Him by the Father. Those that the Father loved and gave Him in a covenant before the world began. Those that the Father chose and elected, gave to Christ, and they're in His hands. Don't you love that? This is His hour, His cause. They are His own, and they're in His hands. David said one time, my times are in Thy hands. My God, I want them there. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. God does not love everybody. But He loves His own. That's what that said. He loved His own. How long did He love them? How long does He love them? If God loves, God's love is perfect. How long does God love? Eternally. Jeremiah 31:3, He said, of somebody, not everybody, but of somebody, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, God's love is eternal. God's love is effectual. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. No man can come unto the Father. Come unto me, Christ said, except the Father which hath sent me draw them. And every man that hath been given me, Christ said, he'll come. And he loves them to the end. When's the end? There is no end for God's people. It's eternal love. It's effectual love. His love is our salvation. Ready? I love my children. And you do too, don't you? Even the forlorn ones. You love the forlorn ones, don't you? If you could save them, if you had the ability and the power, would you? That's a new point, isn't it? If you love them, you would. Does God love His people? Yes, He does, with an everlasting love. Does He save them? Yes, He does. Now that's a fact. And that's my salvation. Loved His own. He loved them to the end. It's His hour. They're His own. They're in His hands. And He loves them to the end. Read on. It says, verse 4. Now He knew, verse 2. Verse 2, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Who did it? Satan did. Who did it? Verse 11 says that Christ knew who it was should betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. Verse 18, Judas is still there, and Christ said, verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. But that the Scripture may be fulfilled. Is that what it said? Here's the fact of the matter, people. All men and women, young people by nature, are held captive by the God of this world. They're born that way. He's the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And Scripture says, Paul said, perhaps, maybe God will give repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that they may be recovered out of the snare, the captivity of Satan. You are held by him at his will. Satan doesn't do anything at his will. All things work together according to the will of God. All right? But God leaves some people in his hand. They're born that way. The fact of the matter is, all men and women are born refusing, rejecting, will not come, will not believe, will not bow, hate God by nature, dead in trespass and sin. Until or unless God, in great mercy and great love and great grace, redeems them, rescues them, sends the gospel to remove them out of the snare of him who held them captive at his will. God, the will of God is free alone. And he sent in his perfect will, he sends the gospel to one of these hell-bound, devil-captive sinners and says, free him, free her. Set her free. And Satan says, I will not let go. God said, you will at this moment. Because I said so. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Say, I don't understand. Well, believe it. Because that's the way it is. Didn't he say to Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. What is Simon Peter's hope? Satan wants him. Just like he wanted Judas. Huh? The Lord allowed him to go into Judas, didn't he? Or he couldn't have done it. And he wanted Simon Peter, didn't he? Didn't he? What's Simon Peter's hope? Jesus Christ is stronger than he. But he did let him have him briefly, just to show Simon Peter what he was. But he couldn't have him forever. is my salvation. Christ is my salvation. How about you? All right. Knowing that the Father, verse 3, had given all things into His hands. The foundation of God standeth sure, people, 2 Timothy 2:19, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. That's the foundational truth, that God has an elect people, a chosen people, given to Christ. Christ came to save them. He did it. That's the foundation. Standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Christ knows them. How does He know them? He's the great high priest. He has them engraved on the palms of His hands. I saw that blessed scripture posted on a billboard on 460 West for everybody to see. That His name, that everybody's name is on His hand. That's blasphemy. He died for His people. He had their names on the palm of His hand. He's talking about His chosen people, not the world. When that high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a lamb to put on the mercy seat to make an atonement, he had 12 names on his shoulders and 12 names on his breastplate. Particular people. And this is called particular redemption. And that's who He died for. And that's who He saved. Having loved His own, knowing all things were given into His hands, all His people, and that He was come from God and going back to God. He's going back to God, having finished this work of redemption, having brought in an everlasting righteousness imputed to the charge of all of His people who believe on Him by the work of the Holy Spirit, whom He will send, and every one of them will hear the truth, and they will believe, and they will repent, and they will come, and they will bow to the praise of the glory of His sovereign, electing, drawing, keeping, restraining, constraining, repentance-giving, faith-giving grace, kept by the power of God. Peter said that. I'm not Judas right now, Peter said, because of the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am in Christ. Knowing He's going back to God. He's going back to God. For those people where He will live forever, Scripture says, will He ever live to do what? Make intercession. For who? He said in John 17, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for them that Thou hast given me. They are Thine, and Thine are mine. And He ever lives to make intercession for His people. And He said the Father always hears Him. So every single person that God loved, God chose, Christ died for, and He lived for, and He now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, interceding for, going to be with Him in glory. He said that, I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. This is His glory. This is God's glory. This is Christ's glory. This is my salvation. If left to myself, if left to my free will, so-called, you know what I would, you know what I will choose? You know what I will choose? Evil. I will choose to leave here. I will not come back. But now if God says, you will stay right here, I'll stay. And not unless. Is that you? He said that over and over again, didn't he? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, as Thou hast given Him authority over all flesh. Don't you love that? The world hates that. Religion hates that. They say God's done all He can do. Now it's up to you. If anything's up to me, I'm a goner. Amen. If He carried me all the way to the throne of glory, to the steps, to the entrance to heaven, said, now just take one step, I would fall. If left to myself for 1 minute, like Simon Peter, ask him. If left to myself for 1 minute, if not restrained by God, I'll deny my Lord and cuss and act like I never knew Him. That's a fact. If you know yourself. All right? Now, let's look at this story. what the gospel that is in those first three verses, huh? It says he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. No doubt our Lord had the chief seat. You know he did. You see that famous painting depicted of the Last Supper. Well, that's a graven image. Throw it away. At any rate, you know good and well that they gave him the chief seat, don't you? The central seat. You know it, didn't you? He had the best seat in the room, the upper room. They were in the upper room. All right? They're eating together, eating supper. You know, all of them, they're talking and communing with one another. John's leaning on his bosom. John, he didn't want to, whatever they're talking about, if it wasn't the Lord, John wasn't interested. That's why he's so close. At any rate, the Lord all of a sudden gets up. And they were always conscious of him. He's everything to them. And the Lord gets up and starts taking his clothes off. And he took all his clothes off. He stripped himself naked. Now, people, he had no sin. This is the second Adam. We wouldn't need clothes if we didn't have sin. Clothes came in because of sin, to cover our nakedness. He had no sin. They stripped him on Calvary's tree, didn't they? Was he ashamed? No. Matthew Henry said, you know, we're proud of that which God said we need to cover our sin, our nakedness. We're proud of it. What ignorant creatures we are. Lifted up with pride for that which is supposed to just cover sin. We're supposed to be modest. What an indictment against this world at becoming increasingly naked before God without shame. Without shame. But our Lord had no sin, so he's not ashamed. What's he got to be ashamed of? He made this body. And we're so full of lusts, you know. He didn't look on flesh like that. All right, he arose and stripped his garments from himself, laid aside his garment, and took a towel, went over here and took a linen or whatever they made towels out of back then, probably linen, because that's what high priest wore. He took linen and a white one, clean, used probably, yes, the clean, took this towel and wrapped himself with that towel, girded himself with that towel. Then he went over and took water that was in a vessel of water from a well. The only kind of water they had. Pure water from a well in a vessel and poured it into a basin. He didn't spill a drop of it. But poured it in a particular vessel to hold all that water. He's going to do something with it. All right, so he walked over and kneeled down at the feet of Bartholomew, or Thomas, or Matthew. First one, long line. Now it's quiet. Uncomfortably so. Hey, what's... Kneeled down, he took off his sandals. Unloosed his sandals. They all wear them. And began to wash his dirty feet. Came to the next one. Began to wash his thinking dirty feet. To the next one. Until he washed them all. What's this all about? What a thing for the Lord and Master of the universe. He said in verse 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. That's what God's people call him. They don't call him Jesus. They call him Lord. That's what all the disciples call him. Lord, Master, Ruler, Owner, one who reigns over me, the one who owns me, my Master, like a dog. You're my Master. You're my Lord. They're not just Jesus, my buddy. He's my Lord. He reigns and rules over me. He's my God. What a thing for the Lord and Master to do, to stoop down at the feet of these lowly fishermen and take off their shoes, unbuckle their shoes, and wash their stinking dirty feet. What a thing for the Lord and Master to do. What a thing for the Lord and Master to wear. What a thing for the Prince of Glory to wear. A towel, a plain towel. Do you understand what this is talking about? Do you understand what the Lord has illustrated here? This was not condescension to him right here. No. This was, they needed their feet dirty. Back then they all wore sandals. Their feet got filthy, dirty. They needed them washed every time they went into a house. This was a common courtesy. Everyone who owned a home, and whenever you came in after the dirty, arid climate, your feet were filthy. And if you loved that person, if you called that person, you extended this loving courtesy to them. Their feet was dirty. You didn't let them wash their own feet. You had a servant do it. Or you yourself, depending on how much you loved them, would get down and wash their dirty feet. This is not condescension. It's love. This is not beneath. It's something that needs to be done. But now I will tell you how he did condescend. Now here's condescension. Are you with me? I always say that, don't I? Why do I say that? Because I want you with me. Here's condescension. He left heaven, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where everything that had breath was praising him. Everybody loved him. Everybody adored him. Everybody magnified him. Everybody was beholding his beauty. There was none up there that he was not altogether lovely to, singing to, praising, worshiping, serving. Everything that hath breath in heaven was serving him, all right? He leaves that. He gets off his throne and comes down. Where does he go to? The scriptures calls it this present evil world where nobody wanted him. Where everybody said, get out of here. Well, finally, all of them said, kill him. These were stinking, filthy sinners. I cannot describe mankind as it should be described. Scripture does, though. God looked down to heaven to see if there are any that didn't understand, any that didn't seek God by nature, any that didn't call on God, any. He said, they're altogether become filthy, the word stinking. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that calls on them. None. And you wouldn't have. And I wouldn't have. And I got two words for that. But God. For his great love left that place where everybody loved him, to come to this place where nobody loved him. Left that place where everybody said, don't go, to come to this place and say, go home. And stripped himself. Took off, not really. He didn't really take off his royal robes. He never did cease to become king or be king. Never did. He just robed himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. He made himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. A man, Psalm 22 said, a worm. I'm a worm. He became a worm. The word's maggot, but without sin. Robed himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, which God says is despicable. But his son was altogether lovely. Not beautiful on the outside, but inward. Took a plain towel, What's a towel for? It's a common thing, and it's a serviceable thing, and it's a thing that you use to dry with. It's a thing you use to warm yourself with. Mandy's got one of these velour robes that you wear in the morning or get out of the tub in. You know, it's real warm and comforting. It's drying. It's a usable, serviceable thing. Well, Christ took a body. A body hast thou prepared me. Common, a towel. I know you ladies have these. I hate decorative towels. I hate them. And you all have them. We've got them. And I still hate them. Decorative towels. They're not good to anybody. It's good for nothing. Look at it. You turn around. Ah, I want to mess that up. Do you have a towel? Here's a paper towel. Christ took a plain, ordinary towel that was serviceable and used. We took a body. This body was prepared for the service of his people. To lay it down. To live for them. To make them righteous. To die for them as the lamb slain for their sins. He took this body. A plain, ordinary towel, as it were. Nothing unusual about it, a towel. But what was unusual? It was that the Lord of glory took it. And robed himself in it. Do you understand? Are you with me? We just can't. I've told you about those worms I had. I got a big tub full of worms, you know. And I wouldn't even think about becoming one of those. I don't love worms. In fact, I'm ready to give them away. Wesley, y'all, you want some worms for your garden? I'm tired of feeding those things. They do me no good whatsoever. My illustrations are over. You can have them if you want to. But he became a worm. That's what it was like for him. He took this towel and girded himself. And you know why he came? You know why he left heaven and came down here? They said, call his name Jesus. The angel said to Mary, call his name Jesus, his earthly name, for he shall save. It means Jehovah saves. Jesus shall save his people, his own. They were in his hands, were in his heart, were on his hand. He shall save them from their sins. How? By being made sin for them. By taking their sins in his body on the tree. By being made a curse for them. By dying for their sin. By laying down his life for the remission of their sin. By being their atonement, their lamb. That's why he came. Not to try it, but to do it. Not to try to save, not to offer it to people, to bestow it, to grant it life, to give life. I am come that they might have life. He didn't say I'm come to offer life. I'm come to give it. I'm come to make the atonement. I am come to lay down my precious blood to obtain their eternal redemption. Why? I love them. Did he do it? This is our salvation, people. His love is effectual, eternal. His blood is effectual, eternal. His power to keep us. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who came to save. And he took his precious blood, as I've tried to make very clear. It was in a vessel. It was in a vessel, a certain amount. All right? Christ is that vessel. All right? He came and he poured it in a basin, didn't he? He poured it in a basin. Didn't sprinkle it like these false these priests and false religion. A sprinkler. Now, we'll look at that later in Hebrews. I know it says sprinkler, but he didn't do that, did he? Poured it in a basin. All right? Particular amount of water in a basin, and he washed 12 disciples. He washed his disciples. I know he went to Judas, but he did say that all of you are not clean, didn't he? But anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet. He didn't go outside and say, anybody's feet need washing? Did he? No, he didn't. And when Christ came, He came to save a particular people, to pour out His precious blood on the mercy seat for His people that He loved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. That's who He did it for. That's who He did it for. This is the story here. Our Lord Jesus Christ poured out His soul unto death, the precious blood of the Lamb. We're not saved by corruptible things such as silver and gold or our religion or our anything. Not even our faith. Faith's not the cause of salvation. It's the result. We're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. Not blood spilt, not blood offered, but blood poured from a particular vessel and used to wash His own from their sin. Not offered to any, but it's not done for all, but done for His own. It was done for His own. All right, He comes to Simon Peter. He comes to Simon Peter. I love this man. I love him so much. I esteem him so highly. I don't care that he denied. I love him dearly. I'm thankful to the Lord for him. I own him as my dear brother. Simon Peter, the Lord came to him. It's all silence, all quiet. And He comes to Simon Peter and he can't stand it anymore. Are you with me? And Simon Peter says in verse 6, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I think he probably recoiled, don't you? I think he probably pulled his feet back. I think he might have stood up. They're all seated. I think Simon Peter said, oh, don't you? Could you see this? Oh, Lord. He's embarrassed. Simon Peter's embarrassed that his Lord of glory would be at his feet. Oh. See, this is a man who knows something about himself. Who knows something about who this is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows that Simon Peter knew that he was a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked sinner. Hell-deserving sinner. Lost, blind, helpless. Until Christ came and chose him and found him and brought him to this place, he still feels his sinfulness. Still feels that he's unworthy. He still feels his sin. He still has his temptation. He's still bombarded by this sin in him. And Simon Peter said, oh, Lord, don't. You can't do that to me. He thinks, I'm the one that needs to be down at your feet. Lord, I'm not worthy. You remember John said, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. Simon Peter thinks, Lord, we all need to be washing your blessed feet. The Lord says, that's not why I came. Not to be served. He said, now listen to this. Verse 7, the Lord answered and said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Some of you know right now. Some of you know. Some of you know. Not all of you. But some of you know why he did this. Peter said unto him, well, you'll never know. You won't ever wash my feet. Lord said, listen, verse 8. If I wash thee not. If I wash thee not. Thou hast no part with me. You're not going to be in heaven. You will not be with me in glory. If I wash thee not, if I don't do this, you're not going to be with me in glory. He didn't say if we. He said if I. If I don't do this, you won't be in heaven with them. Now, Peter said, he doesn't really understand. He says, oh, I need washing bad, but not just my feet. He said, Lord, my hands are filthy. My heart's filthy. My head's filthy, full of filth. I'm filthy through and through. Wash me all over. While you're washing, cleanse me thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, David said. Cleanse me. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Oh, Lord, not just my feet.
Work me all over inside and out. And our Lord said, I have. Are you with me? He that is washed. Who did it? Who puts away sin? Christ said, I wash thee not. Did your faith help? If I wash thee not, what came out of his side was blood and what? Water. That's justification. We're justified by the blood. Being justified freely by the redemption that's in Christ Jesus through his precious blood. And sanctification. Cleansing. Washing. Separating. Came out of his side. He is made unto us this day. He is our salvation. If I wash thee not. Do you see that? Well, what do? We just behold. We just thank him. We just believe. And we don't believe unless he gives us faith. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. He's clean every whit. Peter just said, I don't feel clean at all. Didn't it? Lord, I don't feel clean at all. I feel filthy. That's what Paul said, didn't he? Romans says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You say, I don't understand. I believe every sinner saved by grace in here understands. Yeah, you did. He that is washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sins are gone, though he feels them, though they're ever before him. Their sins are ever before them. And yet, God says, they're not there. They're gone. They're washed. I told you that story about my father. There was no record on them. No record. They're gone. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. The sins of Israel, the iniquity of Israel, Scripture says, shall be sought and not be found. Christ is that scapegoat. Remember they put their heads on the high priest confessed the sins of his people on the head of that scapegoat, and they gave that scapegoat into the hands of a fit man. A man that could walk a long ways. A man that was able to do this job. And this man was to take this scapegoat with the sins confessed on his head. Christ is the goat, and Christ is the man. All right, a fit man, he led him into the wilderness. How far? As far as the east is from the west. So far that there's no way that goat will ever be found again. And that's what God said about their sin. They're gone. But I still feel them. Well, you're gone. You're clean, but you're not. You're clean, but not all. Verse 10. Not all. Oh, my. I would to God that everybody in here tremble at that and say with Peter, oh, Lord, wash me. Say with David, wash me. What about this feet? He said, but you need your feet washed. You need your feet washed. Well, you know, we come in here to hear the gospel. What the gospel does, what the word of God. Ephesians 5:26 says where the Holy Spirit takes the water of his word and washes us, which is the gospel of Christ, which is the story of Christ dying for his people and putting away their sin. Takes this water of his word and washes our soul, washes us from our guilt, washes our minds that from filthy dead works, washes our wonderful. His Lord did it all, though. He did all the washing. And you notice he washed their feet and did what? And dried them. In other words, what he started, he finished. He said, here, I'll do the washing, you do the drying. No. No. Well,
Christ said, "You're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you." I said it in John 15, verse 3. "Now you're clean through the word I've spoken unto you." Here's it. Here it is. Here's the word. Romans 8. "For whom he did foreknow, he did." Romans 8, 31. God be for us, who can be against us? All right? "And he that laid not..." Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died. All right? "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" There was a woman that came in to wash his feet with the tears of her head. With the tears of her eyes and dried them with the hair of her head. A sinner through and through. Everybody knew. And our Lord Jesus Christ, frankly, freely, forever, said, "Sins are gone." With a word, John. He just said, "They're gone." And those Pharisees said, "You can't do that. You don't understand." "I just did." With a word. Who is he that condemned? Christ died. Christ is going to the cross to pay for her sins, and they will be gone. There was a publican and a Pharisee went into the temple one day. The Pharisee was pleading his works, proud of his prayer. "Thank you, God, I'm not like other men. I do this, I do that." All the publican could do was beat on his chest and say, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And our Lord frankly said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Freely, forever forgiven, pardoned from all his sins. All of his sins are gone." You can't do that. He just did. Only God can forgive sin. But they must be faithful. What about our feet? All right. Did that help you? What I just said about Christ dying? Kind of cleanse some of your guilt away? It ought to cleanse it all away. Does that help your mind? Does it cleanse you from dead works and so forth? Does it help you to say, you know, Christ really is all in? All right. As soon as we leave here, and our sister Barbara Ross used to say, every time I hear the gospel, I feel like I got clean. I got clean all over. That's good, Barbara. But that's what it's designed to do. But we no sooner leave this place, out from under the influence of the Word, the truth, and the gospel, we no sooner leave this place that we're bombarded by the God of this world, by the thoughts of this world, by the thoughts of our heart, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and we start feeling filthy all over again. Whatever we come into contact with, feet touch the earth. No. Feet touch the earth. And whatever and whoever we come into contact, we're like Lot, vexed with the conversation of the wicked around us. And Lot was right in the middle of it. And he felt just like them. And he seemed as one that mocked. And so we get feeling filthy and maybe even acting it. Like Simon Peter warmed himself at the fire with a bunch of unbelievers. He had no business sitting with them. Unless it was to tell them the gospel. And he reverted right back to that filthy, unbelieving thing that he was. But God calls us back. That calls us back to his word. To hearing the word. To come back. Get your feet washed. We don't wash feet like they do in this show of humility. I hear this German Baptist place, they do it every, I don't know, however they do it. That's a show of humility. That is a vain show of their... Everybody there, you know good and well, they washed their feet before they came to that service. That's an abomination to God. Now, our Lord said this. Now, look at verse 13. "If you call me Master and Lord, you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you." What's that? Lay down your life. Serve. We don't need our feet washed, do we? But we sure need other things done. "The servant's not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Now people, if you know this gospel,
This ought to be making you happy
that this is done.
And that's not the hearer of the word, but the doer, James said. We're happy, blessed to give than to receive. Self-serving, self-pitying, selfish people are unhappy, miserable people. They're not servants of the Lord. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And here's the thing. Now listen very carefully, okay? I'm going to close with this because this is the heart of feet washing. In the end, the Lord said He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Didn't He say that? In the end. And He's going to say to those sheep on His right hand, "Enter thou blessed of the Father into the things prepared for you from the foundation of the world." My elect, my children. He said, "Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me." Right? "When I was in jail, you came and visited me." What's that mean? Does that mean going to visit in the hospital? So that's fine and good. Yes, we ought to do that. But that's not the essence of what He's saying. People need to hear the gospel. People are naked before God. They need clothed in the righteousness of Christ. People are living on husks of religion. They need the bread of life. You hear me? People are captive by Satan. They need to hear the gospel of redemption, deliverance. This is what He's talking about. You with me? That's what He's talking about. Preeminently. Because there's people all over the world doing these things. Those people that were goats said, "When did we not do this? We did it all the time. Didn't they?" He said, "You're workers of iniquity. You did it as a show. You did it for your own glory. You did it to work out a righteousness for yourself. That's what you did it for." But now, people, here's what everybody needs all around you. You know anybody's really hungry? Do you? No, not in the United States of America. Not much. There's soup kitchens. They can go get food. Clothes. Goodwill's full of them. Huh? But everybody's running around naked before God. That's what He's talking about. You know? That's what He's talking about. They need washed, all right. And such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. How? Somebody told you the gospel. Somebody told you the gospel. That's what He's talking about. Yes, it is. Oh, Lord, wash me. Wash me through and through. Let's sing that song.